So good morning again. Thank you so much for your worship. I loved hearing you guys sing, and man, I know that encourages the worship team, but here's what it does. I think God hears that, and man, that just puts such a smile on his face. And I love that, you know, you can say that you're loved by him. That's who I am. And today, I think this message goes so well along with that message, that you need to know that today that you are loved, and that God loves you in a great way, and he's demonstrated it so much to us. And today, I think the account that we're going to look at it just demonstrates it so clearly to us. And so we are in week three of our series titled, I Am Jesus. And today, we're going to look at, again, one of my favorite accounts. We've looked at a couple of those already. We've looked at these are I am statements that Jesus made, and there are seven in the scriptures that we find, and it gives us the character of who God is. And if we're going to know him, and if we're going to follow him, and we're going to say that we believe in him, then we better know who he is. And so no better way to know who he is than who he says he is. And that's what we're looking at. We looked at the first week that I am the vine. He says that I'm the vine, and you need to be connected to me to be who I want you to be. And when you're connected to me, then you can know what it is that I want you to do, and you can be who I want you to be. Last week we talked about, he said, I am the good shepherd, and that we're a bunch of dumb sheep, and we need a good shepherd. We need a shepherd that will guide us and lead us the way that he wants us to go, to be, again, who he wants us to be. And so we need to be able to follow him. And here's how we do that. We know his voice. And we get to know his voice by spending time with him and hearing his voice so that we don't hear the other voices that we are so often influenced by. And so today I want us to look at where he says that I am the light of the world. And this is one of those messages that I think I hope, not because it's me giving it, but I hope that at the end of this is one that you can share with people around you, because it's going to be one of those that I think meets so much of us, so many of us where we are in our lives. And so today I want to begin looking at John chapter 8. If you have your Bibles, you can go ahead and turn John chapter 8. If you have your YouVersion app up, whatever, you know, version you want to look at, you can do that. There's also the notes there online. Go to the events section on YouVersion, and you can just find you are a community church and follow along there. But he says this, Jesus spoke to the people once more, and he said, I am the light of the world. If you follow me, you won't have to walk in darkness, because you will have the light that leads to life. Now, that's an amazing promise that he makes, that if you follow Jesus, that you won't walk in darkness, but that you'll have the light in your life that leads to life, that leads to being who he wants us to be. I mean, darkness is a scary thing, isn't it? Let's just be honest. You got to participate. How many of you are... Yeah, that was good. I didn't even ask you to say anything, but y'all did. You did participate. So how many of you were afraid of the dark when you were kids? Come on now. Yeah? Yeah? So let's just be honest. How many adults still afraid of the dark? Yeah? Yeah? So I know. It's one of those things. It's kind of scary. You know, as a kid, I was afraid of the dark. I loved when it was the full moon outside, because the light would come in, it'd light up the room, and I was good. You know, and I wouldn't be so afraid. And, you know, you're laying there in the bed, and you won't even let a finger fall off the edge, because whatever's there is going to grab it and yank you down underneath the bed. You know how that goes? You know, that's how it is. And so you're afraid of what's in the closet. You're afraid what's under the bed. You're afraid everything else when it's dark, because darkness is scary, because you can't see what's going on. You don't know what's happening. And so we want to know, how do we keep from living in darkness? How do we keep from being there? All through Scripture, God is described as the light. He's equated with light. And so we know that the light makes a difference. It changes things. In the beginning, he said, let there be light. And the world began. And so he separated the darkness from the light, the day from the night. And so we know that he's called the light, but then there's another character in this that is referred to as the Prince of Darkness, and that's Satan. That's the enemy of everything that God wants for us, that he is there. So God and Satan are constantly opposed at each other. In fact, Jesus said this to Saul as he encountered him. He contrasted the light and the darkness in Acts 26, verse 17. He said, "I will rescue you from both your own people and the Gentiles. Yes, I am sending you to the Gentiles to open their eyes so they may turn from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God. Then they will receive forgiveness for their sins and be given a place among God's people who were set apart by faith in me." He sent Paul to help us understand that there is a light and a darkness, and that we are to be not to be in the darkness, but to be in the light, to be drawn to it, to live in it. And if you've grown up anywhere around church and you see John chapter 8 where Jesus says, "I am the light, and if you walk with me, you won't be in darkness." It's a pretty interesting context that we find this story. I mean, if you've grown up in church, you've heard that, but you probably don't have a clue what the context is, because it sounds like such a positive message, but it comes after such an incredible encounter and what could have been a very tragic moment in the scriptures. It's right after the account of the woman who's caught in adultery. And that's one of those heavy stories that we find in the scriptures, but it's one that I think so many of us can identify with in our lives, if not now, certainly where we have been. And it allows us to open up and see what he was trying to teach to us in this. And so I want to just break this story down a little bit for us so that we maybe see it in a way, if we do have heard it, maybe in a different way, so that it begins to make sense and we can apply this to it. We're going to look at the law, the love, and the light. The law, the love, and the light. Say that with me. The law, the love, and the light. Right? It sounds like the title of a bad CBS Friday night drama or something, right? But it's really a way for us to be able to see this, and we're going to go with it, and we're going to dig down into it. So here's where we say, what does the law reveal to us? If you're taking notes, you can write this down. The law reveals our guilt. It reveals our guilt. Watch this in the story in John 8, beginning in verse 2. It says, "But early the next morning, he was back again at the temple. A crowd soon gathered, and he sat down and taught them. As he was speaking, the teachers of religious law and the Pharisees brought a woman who had been caught in the act of adultery, and they put her in front of the crowd. 'Teacher,' they said to Jesus, 'this woman was caught in the act of adultery.'" Now, let's just pause for a moment, and let's kind of look at what's going on. These religious leaders, the good Baptist folk, I don't know, maybe the good, these leaders who were supposed to know it all, they go and they find this man and this woman, I guess in the comfort of wherever they're doing, right? They find them and they grab the woman and they drag her out into the middle of the street. What about the man? Right? A little messed up here, isn't it? Right? The man, where is he? You know where I think he was? I think he was right in the middle of the crowd. I think he was right there. Because I think he might have been in the back. I think he was right there. Because I think he was waiting to see what was going to happen, because he was afraid he was next. I think he was right there because he wanted to know what was going on. But here's the thing. They drag the woman out. It's kind of a double standard, though, right? They drag her out there and not him, and they get her out in the middle of everything. She was likely, naked, probably grabbed her right in the moment of everything going on. And, you know, maybe she grabbed a sheet, maybe she didn't, but there she is in probably all of her glory right in front of everybody in the middle of her sin. I don't know if you've ever been caught in something. I don't know if you've ever just been right in the middle of some of the dumbest mistakes you've ever made and been caught in it. But it's a very naked feeling. It's a very raw feeling. I mean, there's just nothing there to hide behind. It's just there. And here's this woman dealing with where she is. I mean, think about her emotions and all that's going on with her. And Jesus is right there, and they say this next thing, verse 5. The law of Moses says to stone her. What do you say? See, they were trying to trap him into saying something they could use against him. And see, they were right. The law of Moses at the time said that she should be stoned. That she should be put to death for what she has done. But they say, Jesus, what do you say? They left it up to him for the moment. I think they had their mind set up on what they were going to do anyway, but what they wanted to do was to catch him and get him to say something that boxed him into a corner that they could use against him. You ever felt that way? I mean, you know, you just get yourself boxed in, and you know that people are asking you questions to get you trapped, but you're doing everything you can to not. But here's Jesus. If he says, you know, yep, go ahead and do it. Well, now he's not the loving Savior that he's been described as to this point. If he says, no, don't stone her, you know, let her off the hook this time. Well, now he's going against what the law says. Now he's a lawbreaker. Now he's saying it's okay to commit adultery. It's okay to do everything else. And that's what they would take that as if he said no. So they were trying to trap him, to corner him into it. Jesus is about to do something very significant that I think that we all need to be able to experience in our lives. But let's don't miss the point. It says the law reveals our guilt. See, one of the things that people hate when I say it is that people are bad. There are no good people. That we're all bad, right? See, I know that there's somebody saying, you know what, I'm a good person, Ron. I do good stuff. I know that person over there, they're a good person. The statement that just drives me nuts is when somebody says, well, they're just a good Christian man, a good Christian woman. There are none. The scripture says that there's no not one that's good. That we are believers and we're made right by who Jesus is, but we need to understand that just who we are is not good. That we're guilty. I know, you don't believe me. Watch this. How many of you ever told a lie? Hold them up. Look around. Whoever's hand's not up, tell them, you liar. Right? So we've all lied, okay, pretty much, I would think. All right? So how many of you have stolen something? Raise your hand. I'm guilty. Come on. You know you got a URA Community Church pin at home. Come on. Stuck it in your purse last week. I know. Come on. So how many of you, let's see. How many of you have ever looked lustfully at someone else? Dude's like, you ain't getting me today.
I'm waiting for her.
Yeah, there you go. So. Just being honest, right? How many of you ever taken the Lord's name in vain? I can tell you that I've done it. It doesn't have to be the one that you think, the way that we always say it. But I think sometimes we've used God's name in ways when we've said he said something or we've attributed something to him that he didn't do, and I think we've used his name in a way that shouldn't be, and that's called blasphemy if you really want to know what that is. So let me just, real quick, you lied. Hold it up. You lied. Stole something. Yeah, you looked lustfully at somebody else. Yeah, you used God's name in vain. Yeah, so let me just make sure that you understand this, that you're all a bunch of lying, thieving, blasphemy, adulterers. Okay? Can we just, let's just be honest, right? Because y'all making me stand up here and hold my hand up. Let's be honest. We're all one. Because we've all done it. Because there's not a good one. Right? None of us can do it on our own. Nobody's perfect. And the scripture says that we're all that way. But the law, see, the law, those things, there's a law, there's a reason why we're guilty of something, because something has said that's not right. The law reveals our guilt, and it makes us, puts us all in the place, but the law said this woman was guilty. The law says we're guilty. But the good news is it doesn't stop with the law. The law reveals our guilt, but if you're taking notes, the law reveals God's grace. It reveals the grace of a good, loving God that cares about us. The law reveals our guilt, but the love reveals reveals God's grace. And we see it in John chapter 8, verse 6. It says, but Jesus stooped down and wrote in the dust with his finger. Like, really? I mean, they're like trying to trick Jesus, and trying to get himself in trouble, and he just simply stoops down and he begins to write in the dust. You ever thought about what did he write? See, we all think we know, but we really don't know. But I believe what he did write was he began, you know what I think he wrote first? I think he wrote that guy's name that was with her. I'm just telling you that he began to write his name. And you know what else? He may have written the other names that had been with that woman as well. Or he might have just began to write their name and the sin that they have in their life. I don't know, but I know that he did something that got their attention. See, in that, in the Greek, the word, there's two words that mean to write down. And they're, it's graphen and catagraphen. I'll say that really fast next time, blow it all up. But those two words are there. One means to write down, and the other means to write a charge against. And guess which one was used in this writing? That he wrote down a charge against them. And so we see that Jesus, in this moment where he's being trapped, he begins to write some things down, and it begins to get their attention. It says in John 8, verse 7, they kept demanding an answer, so he stood up again, and he said, all right. But let the one who has never sinned throw the first stone. So I'm just wondering, out of all the hands that were raised, who could really get mad at somebody else for lying? Who could really get mad at somebody else for, you know, for stealing something from them or cheating against them or whatever? It's, you can and you should be hurt and you should be offended by it. Because it is an offense. But the truth is that we all have our offenses. We all have our things that we've done. And so he says, listen, the one who has no sin, let him be the one that throws the first stone. See, again, in the Greek, that without sin part, that the one who has never sinned was translated that way. But it was to mean not just without sin, but it was without even the thought of sin. Now let's be honest. If you didn't lie before, you thought about it before, right? If you hadn't stolen something, you probably thought about it. If you hadn't committed adultery, you may have thought about it. And if you hadn't taken the Lord's name in vain that time you hit your thumb, you probably thought about it. So you get what I'm saying? Jesus was making sure that they understood that, no, it's not just without sin. It's the one the one without even thinking about it. And we've all thought about them. We've all committed them in our, whether in our mind or with our hands or with ourselves, we've done it. And Jesus is going after something that's really, really important here. He's going after these judgmental, arrogant people who drug this woman out there, hoping that she would be this picture, and she would be this image of what sin really was. But the truth is that they were just as guilty, not of that sin, maybe. So I love the fact that there is not a big sin and a little sin. You see, we've drawn those pictures and we've made those lists and we've said, this, man, if you've done this, you're really bad. But if you've done this like me, we're not so bad. Listen, your sin is just as big as theirs. In the eyes of Scripture, we've all fallen short and we've all done this. And so Jesus is making sure that they all understand that, listen, this is about more than just pointing out one person's sin. This is about looking within yourself to see where you are and what's going on inside of you. It's easy to pick others apart. Man, it is so easy to look at somebody else and say, man, you messed up. But it's a whole other thing than to look at yourself and say, you know what? So have I. So what do I want? What's the grace that I would want? What's the result that I would want from where I am to where you are? Jesus gets very serious here in verse 8, and he says, then he stooped down again and wrote in the dust. When the accusers heard this, they slipped away one by one, beginning with the oldest, until Jesus was left in the middle of the crowd with the woman. Why do you think the oldest left first? I think it's because they had the longest list. When he began to write down things, man, they probably had a little better list. Maybe he started with them because they've had the most opportunity to make things right, and they haven't done it. I don't know why, but we know that whatever he did, it made people begin to think differently. It began to get their attention and say, you know what? I don't need to worry about her. I need to worry about me. Verse 10, then Jesus stood up again and he said to the woman, where are your accusers? Didn't even one of them condemn you? Verse 11 says this, no, Lord, she said. Didn't even one of them hang around to hold that against you? Didn't even one of them want to hear what my answer was? Didn't anybody want to see this through? She says, no. Here's where he took it then. He spoke then the most grace-filled, love-laced words in history. In verse 11, he says, then Jesus said, neither do I. Go and sin no more. Was the lady guilty? Absolutely. Were there probably consequences to her guilt? Absolutely. Right? You need to know that just because somebody's, you know, that we're all guilty, and just because of that, listen, there's still consequences to actions. That doesn't mean that you walk away from it. There's consequences to everything. I love that there was a Toby Mac little post on Facebook. He said, you choose the consequences when you choose the behavior. Right? We know that when we make a choice, there are consequences that come with that. And we need to know that when we get caught, that we need to understand that the consequences may still come. Somebody can choose to let us off the hook, but we need to know that there are consequences to that action, and we better be ready for them. But Jesus says, listen, I don't condemn you. You may have broken the law, but listen, we go beyond this. I love you. And he says, go. Go and sin no more. Somebody walked in here today in some darkness, some shame, some agony, some things that you've done that you know that are just wrong. And there's some pain that comes with that. There's some guilt that comes with that. There's some shame that comes with that. But you need to know when you're in Christ that there is no condemnation. That when you're in Christ, that His grace changes everything. That when you're in Christ, that there's a light that is in your life that allows you to be able to see beyond the moment and the pain and the shame of where you are. Don't get me wrong, listen. There's an accuser. There is an accuser that's going to remind you of everything that you've done. Everything that you've confessed and everything that you've been forgiven of, everything that's back there that you know caused pain and hurt to so many people, listen, you know it's there. But he's constantly reminding you of that. That voice that's doing that, that's not Jesus. That is not God. That is not who's doing that. But it's the enemy. It's Satan who wants you to hear all of the things that you aren't. He wants you to be put down. He wants you to be beat down so that you never, ever rise up enough to say, you know what, God, I'm sorry. I don't want to live like that, but I want to live like you want me to live. That wants to keep you down so that you never follow through with the love and experience the love that God has. He says, after what you did, God could never use you. After what you did, God could never love you. After how you've messed up, He could never forgive you. After all you've done, you could never make a difference in this world. After what you've done, you could never have a good marriage. After what you've done, you could never have a good relationship with your kids. After what you've done, you could never have a good relationship with your parents. After what you've done, you'll never experience all that I want for you. All that God has made you and created you for. See, that's the voice of the accuser. There's two voices that are always going to be speaking to you. One's going to tell you the truth, and one's going to lie to you all the time. And if you don't know the difference between the voices, you're probably going to listen to the one that yells the loudest, and usually that's the accuser. It's the only thing he's got. But if you remember last week's message, if you know the good shepherd's voice, you can follow him and experience all that he has for you. He'll guide you and lead you where you are meant to be. But you got to know the voice. When you hear those things, listen, that's the voice of the accuser and not the voice of the Savior. Don't get wrapped up in it. Darkness never defeats light. Do you know and understand what darkness is? See, darkness isn't this thing that can overtake things. Darkness is the absence of something. It's when the light's not there. So when the light comes, it takes over the darkness every single time. Don't let anybody tell you differently. Jesus says, I'm the light of the world. And when you walk with me, you'll never walk in darkness. I love where Jesus says, because listen, the woman was guilty. I'm guilty of the things I've done. You're guilty of the things you've done. There is a guilt that is there. The law reveals it. The love, though, reveals God's grace. See, until we see ourselves as a sinner, we'll never see our need for a Savior. So we need to understand that there is guilt there. But there's so much more grace. Jesus looks at the woman and he didn't say, okay, now you're forgiven. Go and try to not do that again. Did he say that? No, he didn't say that. He doesn't say, now, I understand your past. I understand your bad relationship with your dad. I understand the things you've been through. But just try to not go and sleep with every guy that you know. He doesn't say that to her, does he? He doesn't say, man, listen, I know you're a red-blooded guy. I know you're just a good old testosterone-filled whatever, and you're going to look at porn some. Just don't, you're forgiven, but don't go do it again, even though I know you're going to. No, he doesn't say that to us. He doesn't say, listen, I know that you're struggling with gossiping because you ain't got nothing going on in your own life. You got to talk about everybody else's. No, he doesn't say, just try not to do it again. No, he says to the lady, go and sin no more. Go. There's an urgency that Jesus puts into this little phrase that he gives her. It's a go now. Go. And don't think about how you're going to do it two or three more times before you really are going to give it up. No, he just says go. And don't do it again. You know why he says go and don't do it again? Because if you walk in the light, you won't be in the dark. If you choose to follow him, you won't do that anymore. There's a sense of urgency that he gives her, and he says, listen, go and don't do it again. The law, it reveals our guilt, and we all have it. But the love, it reveals God's grace to us. We don't have to be under that penalty. And then the light. See, then the light, it reveals our hope. It reveals our hope. That we don't have to know that, yeah, we're going to mess up. And that there's this penalty because we're guilty. And we got to deal with it. No. There's hope that's revealed by the light. Verse 11 says, the previous verse of this I am statement, he says, now go and leave your life of sin. I thought, it's kind of like he's being a little preachy at her. Go and don't do that anymore, kind of thing. But I don't think that's what he's really doing. I think he was saying, hey, you can go now. And you don't have to live like that anymore. You don't have to want to live like that anymore. Because now you've been forgiven and you know what that feels like. Go and live the life that I created you for. See, John 8:12, Jesus spoke to the people and he said, I am the light of the world. If you follow me, you won't have to walk in darkness because you will have the light that leads to life. Jesus looked at her and he said, listen, they don't condemn you and I don't condemn you. You messed up, but I don't condemn you. You're forgiven. And see, at that very moment, Jesus, for that woman, stopped being the light of the world. And he became the light of her world. See, the moment that you accepted Christ, he stopped being the light of the world. And he became the light of your world. This is something very personal that you need to understand today. That this isn't for somebody else. That this is for you. for me. It's very personal that he is the light that we need in our lives. So the question is, has that happened for you? Has he become your light? Has he brought light to the darkness of your world? Has he begun to show that there is a love that goes beyond the love that you could understand in human form? Has he begun to show you that there is forgiveness for things that the accuser keeps bringing up and reminding you of? See, there's not enough darkness anywhere to put out the light of even the smallest candle. Because the moment you light it, it brings light to wherever it is. And the good news is that when you believe in Christ, it becomes personal and your world lights up. You can choose to live in the darkness, but let me just tell you, if you're living in Jesus, you can't live in the darkness too. Sure, you can sin, but should we want to? If we're seeking after him, if we're following him, then wouldn't our choices be different? Wouldn't it be really much harder to do the things that separate us from him? John chapter 12, verse 46, Jesus says, I have come as a light to shine in this dark world. Man, we live in some dark mess, don't we? I mean, it's tough. Some of you that are teachers and the things that you experience, it's crazy. But the darkness, listen, he says, so that all who put their trust in me will no longer remain in the dark. If you can trust him, you can then move out of that dark into the light. And when you know that, you can receive the freedom that comes with that. That you don't have to listen to that condemning voice anymore. That now you can listen to the voice of the one who wants to guide you and show you what's right and what he wants for your life. What he created you for. The you can'ts and the you won'ts and you never wills, those can be silenced because you know the light. Micah chapter 7, verse 8 says this, do not gloat over me, my enemies, for though I fall, I will rise again, and though I sit in darkness, the Lord will be my light. See, the law reveals our guilt. The law is always going to show us what we've done wrong. It's always going to hold us accountable. But the love of God, see, it reveals this amazing grace that says that you're forgiven. And you don't have to carry that anymore. And then there's the light. The light that reveals the hope that you and I have to know that we don't have to spend forever separated from the God who created us. See, Jesus came and he lived a sinless life and he died on a cross to pay the price for our sin. He gave his life on that cross to be the payment for our consequences, for our sin. He was taken off that cross, he was buried, and on the third day, God raised him from the dead. With all the love and the power that he has, he raised Jesus up so that you and I can not only be forgiven of our sins because the price has been paid, but that we could also spend forever in heaven knowing that we'll be in his presence for eternity. And so today you can have hope. Listen, we've all messed up. We've all got stuff in our lives. Some of our stuff has hurt people deeply. And listen, they may never forgive you. You know what? And they honestly might be right. But here's the thing. Because God loves us so much that he forgives us of our sin. And that grace is amazing. That love goes beyond anything that we could ever experience. And so today you might be somewhere pretty dark. But I want you to know that there's a light that's waiting to shine wherever you are. He wants to love you and forgive you of whatever you've done and have a relationship with you. Maybe in the past you've made a decision to accept him, but maybe you're just not living where you know he wants you to live. And there's just too much darkness still in your life that you've just not allowed him to shine the light on. And today, listen, today's the moment you can do that. You can leave walking out of here glowing like a Texaco gas card commercial or whatever that one is. Right? I think it's Shell, but whatever. You get the point. Because there's light being shown on you. And the darkness, listen, when the darkness sees the light, it doesn't just walk away. It flees. It gets out of there quickly. Today, let him shine your light on wherever you are. Maybe today it's just that you need to make a decision that there's something you need to ask forgiveness of. Between you and him, you just need forgiveness of one or many things. Maybe it's that you've just never accepted him as your Savior, and today's the day that you accept what he did for you on the cross and let him change you to bring light into your life. Maybe today maybe today you need to go tell your kids, one of your kids, two of your kids, all your kids, that you're just sorry. Because you messed up and you need to confess it and you need to be honest with them. Let them forgive you and let them love you, knowing that the Father loves you. Maybe you need to go to your spouse. Maybe you need to go to your spouse and just say, you know what, I'm sorry. I messed up. And if you can forgive me, forgive me. But I know it's going to be tough. Listen, until you've had to forgive somebody who's done that, fortunately, I don't know that feeling. Never had to forgive my wife of something that we would call tragic and terrible. But she's had to forgive me. I know that feeling of being forgiven. Today, maybe it's just time. It's just time to be honest with where you are and what you're doing. It's time to just let go and let God do something amazing in your life. We're coming up on Easter, the most incredible moment in human history, where Jesus himself is just, he did it all for us, and he paid the price, and now he's just open, got his arms open wide for us. And maybe today it's just time to quit playing around and just experience it for what it is. I don't know where you are. I don't know what's going on in your life. But I do know today that there is a God who loves you and cares about you and wants a relationship with you. And that relationship is greater than anything else you could ever imagine. So today, what do you need to do? Do you need to make some decisions and let the light shine in? I think if we're all honest, there's probably dark places in all of our lives. Maybe it's just time to experience the light. Let's pray. God, thank you for this moment of just being able to recognize, God, that you just of how much you love us. God, maybe it's time to just realize that we need forgiveness. God, maybe it's not another person that we need to make a relationship right with. Maybe it's you, God. So today, I don't know the stories out here, God, but you certainly do. So God, I pray that you'll move freely in our hearts and help us to understand that there is forgiveness in the light. There's love in the light. So God, today I pray that we would do business with you, God. If you would just simply keep your heads bowed and your eyes closed, just nobody looking around. I don't often do this, but today I just feel like I'm supposed to. See, we raised our hands earlier to admit to our sin. We raised our hands to admit the things that we had done wrong. And so today, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand because of what you've done right. So today, if you've made a decision to accept Christ as your Savior, I want you to just lift your hand up. If you, at some point in your life, have made a decision to accept Jesus, I just want you to lift your hand up. Thank you. So maybe that's uncomfortable for some of us in the room, and that's okay. So here's what I want you to do. If you've never made that decision before, and you just want to be honest about it, and listen, I'm not going to point you out, I'm not going to embarrass you, I'm not going to do like these Pharisees did and drag you out in front of the crowd. Listen, this is me and you and God. But today you say, Ron, I've never made a decision to accept Christ as my Savior. I've never made a decision to let Him be light in my darkness. I've just never made that decision. Would you just lift up your hand? Okay. So today, God, we've just honestly come before you. God, we've just said, you know, today we know you. And we believe you and we trust you. God, thank you for shining light into our lives and thank you for demonstrating to us who you are. So God, may in these next few moments, may we just be in being thankful for what we have. Maybe today, God, we do need to just come and confess some things to you. Maybe we just need to come and make sure our relationship is right. But God, today, I pray that you'll just move. Encourage us, God, to be all that you want us to be. In Jesus' name, amen.